Jesus. And thank you, Father, that, you know, he meets our need according to his riches and glory, doesn't he? But he also makes his grace overflow to us, that we're so blessed that we can't help but be a blessing to other folks and overflow to them. Amen? So this morning we're going to worship the Lord together in this way. And we'll bring hold your offering into the up in the air right now and say to the Lord, Father God, I come before my high priest, the Lord Jesus, with my offering. I worship you with this, Jesus. I rejoice over you with this, Jesus. And I praise your name, Jesus. Now receive this. Receive my obedience. Open the windows of heaven like you promised and pour out that blessing that there's not room to receive. I receive it on that basis right now. Amen. Glory to God. Let's bring a sacrifice of praise. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Yes, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's it.
Okay. All right. We just want to go over with you today. Now, next Sunday, you're going to have a special speaker, Mary Pullman. And she's been here many times throughout the years, and she was here last year about this time. Honey, let me get this done.
All right. I'm calling
okay?
Up here.
In the bulletin, it says men's breakfast is coming Saturday. That is incorrect. Men's breakfast was yesterday.
We will have to quantum leap to yesterday to go to men's breakfast, men.
Yeah, so scratch that if you see it in the bulletin. And we just want to remind you to keep bringing building improvement fund.
Just go that way
if you want to come up. Jeffrey's birthday is the 17th. What's today?
That's today. Wow, I congratulate him on his 43rd birthday.
Happy, let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jeffrey. Oh, record stuck there. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Amen.
So, keep us in prayer. We're leaving right after church to go to Branson for a week.
Not a vacation.
No, my husband will be singing morning and night. Give them your normal deep voice, honey.
What that? There's a long black train. That one?
Yeah, that's his voice.
Long black train.
He does all the, he's not an alto, but he tries to do it with these songs because that's what the key's in, but that's his normal voice.
And
that's
I like
what,
singing soprano best of all, huh?
Yeah. He'll be using his deep voice day and night. So keep him in prayer. We got the sore throat medicine. We've got the lozenges and everything else when you start singing like that. So we'll be in Branson, busy, but still working for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And safe travels there and back if you keep us in prayer. And keep lifting Wendy up, who just lost her husband.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that's a regular prayer request. So I think we've got it. Oh, we got, wait a minute. There's a young man who's got blonde hair and blue eyes, very handsome.
Oh,
very
yeah.
handsome. Yeah. And I think he has a special for us today.
He does, doesn't he? Oh, you know what? This young dude, he was our our Young Performer of the Year Award recipient in July at the CGMA convention. I encouraged him to come sing, and he came up front and sang and did a wonderful song. And you know what? It has helped him, his confidence. He is a great singer. He was last Sunday or the Sunday before, he was at a service at another church, invited to sing there, so with his group there. So we're going to have Mr. Isaiah do a song and signing. You're going to do sign language, right? Okay, can you stand like right over here so Miss Betty can see you there? There you go. I can move this back a little bit. There you go, so Miss Betty can see you. And we're going to let Isaiah show us his stuff, okay? Isaiah, you ready? You need a microphone up here. I can hold it.
Check, check, check. Are we on? Are we on? Okay, here we go.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Yes.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Praise God. Anything else?
Jesus loves me. He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He has lost away my sin. Let the little child come in.
Yes.
Jesus loves me. This he will stay close beside me all the way. He prepared a home for me, and someday his face I'll see.
Yes, sing it real quick. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. My Bible tells me.
Thank you, Isaiah. Praise the Lord. I think we should encourage Mr. Isaiah in his music ministry. Amen. That's a gift from God. Amen. You know, well, I like it. Okay, you need this one. Okay, I don't want to turn it off, do I?
No.
Okay, there we go.
All right. That is one of our Kids World children, and you're 5, aren't you, Isaiah? Wow. Good job, bud. Okay, let's have our Kids World group up here. Well, we've got 2. Come on up, Gabriel. We're missing a few today. Thumbs up or thumbs down? How's the day going? Ooh, thumbs up. We got a good Sunday. Oh, maybe. We're not done yet. We got a good Sunday. Okay, let me read something from the Bible. It says in Matthew 5:15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Miss Betty, can you stay for 4 more minutes? We're going to sing here shortly a song that I need you to play. So, what did the Bible just say? Something about what? Light. Light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We're going to sing that song here in a minute, but you, too, have got to guess what's in here.
And they can't cheat anymore. That's a cool thing, right? They can't see what's in there, right?
Light is something. It's an object that gives light. Yes.
a lamp or a light bulb, you're close. Ooh, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot. That's not it. What else gives light? Yes, Jesus gives light. You're exactly right. I just don't have him in here. I have him in here. Okay. The sun gives light. I could not contain sun in here. What's something else that gives light? And we use it once it starts getting, the adults all got their hands raised. Yes. A flashlight.
Woo-hoo! A flashlight. Brilliant. Glory to God.
Okay. So a flashlight gives light, right? Now, with Jesus in us, we should have our light shining all the time. And what we don't need to do, what we don't need to do is hide it. Hide it under a bushel. So if I put this over it, can you see my light? Bible says, don't hide it under a bushel. Because if Jesus is in us, we need to let our light shine. So let's sing that song. Gary, help us. Stand
this
up.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine.
You guys, you have been troopers. You ready to go over to Kids World?
Our super troopers are headed to Kids World. Would y'all give them a big hand as they go over? Amen. I've teased the boys when I've been in there and said, we've got to get some girls in this place. You guys need to ask God for a girlfriend. And they look at me like, girlfriend? What's a girlfriend? So praise God. They're still thinking like young guys, right? Young boys, right? Amen. Praise God. Anybody loving Jesus in the house? Anybody, is anybody still worshiping Jesus in the house this morning? You know, I can't get away from the fact that it says in the Word, the Father seeks such to worship Him. What's that, Miss Betty? The Father seeks those who what? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit means from the heart with your attitude. All of you belongs to Him. It's all set on worship. He's looking. He's chasing those down. My Bible says in 2 Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking or looking to show Himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. And so perfect toward Him means someone whose heart is set on worshiping Him. So whenever we're, that's the essence of life, if you think about it right there, being a worshiper of the Lord. Being someone whose heart follows hard, it says, David said it in the Psalms, my heart follows hard after you, O Lord, Psalm 63. My heart follows hard after you. It's important. Why are you stuck on this subject of worship, Orlick? I don't know, because the Lord's stuck on it as far as I can tell. He's looking for the ones, He's chasing after the ones who will. You know what it also says in Deuteronomy? He says, these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you chase after my word and obey my commandments. They will chase after you and overtake you. Can anybody here use some blessing chasing after you? I know at my house we could use it. Amen. We could use blessing chasing us. Amen. And how do we do that? We become a true worshiper. He showed me one day the truest form of, the purest, truest form of worship, of chasing after me, is to set your heart and open your eyes and your ears to listen to me speaking to you, intending to do what I say. Thank you for that, amen. It's true. That was good preaching, amen. Thank you. It's true. He is looking for the ones who will station themselves in front of his face, eagerly awaiting him to say and to command and to share, with the intention they're going to do what he says to do. Amen. You know, my kids, when they were more so when they were like this than when they were like this, you know, you understand what I'm saying, those of you that have children, more so when they're here than here, they would come up and Susanna, my daughter especially, was this way, come up and come up to the couch or whatever and beside me and be looking up at me with this look, you know, and she'd say, "Dad." I'd say, what princess, what's going on? "I don't know, Dad, I dove you." She said, "I dove you," back in that day. "I dove you, I love you, I dove you, I dove you." And you know what? All that had to happen when she said that, when she was come up, just that was her way of worshiping, I guess. Dad, you know, that was her way. And all that would happen when I would say, "What can I do for you? You want to go to Brahms?" Y'all know what Brahms is here? Not candy. It's not chicken. They're down in the south, like Oklahoma, big time. I think they're stationed in Oklahoma, actually. And they have their own ranches and farms and grow their own cattle and milk and everything like that. And they make their own ice cream, make their own cheese and everything like that. And they're most famous for their ice cream. They're kind of an ice cream store, but they'll make the other things for you, too. And so that's a big treat with kids down that way, is we get to go to Brahms, get a banana split, we get a hot fudge sundae or something like that. So it would be when she's, "Dad, I dove you," it would be, "Princess, you want to go to Brahms?" Yeah. Yeah. The blessings would come upon her. Why? Because the blessings that I felt for her would be chasing after. And that's why that's the reason I'm stuck on this subject of worship. Don't you ever get bored with the subject of worship. Don't ever get bored with it, because that's your connection. That is your connection to your Abba, to your Father. Amen? That's right. And what's he looking for? As the word of the Lord came forth, he was speaking to us this morning. It's important that whenever he begins to speak forth through his body, that we listen and give heed and pay attention to what's said. And he's telling us to follow hard after the high priest of our confession, the Lord Jesus. It says it in the word, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. What was the joy that was set before him? I'm waving over that joy right now. I'm waving on you right now. You're the joy that was set before him. It says he brought many sons to glory, and that was his purpose. He brought many who could worship him in spirit and in truth, many who could grow up to be just like the only begotten, the Lord Jesus, who could receive from the gifts given from heaven. It says that when Jesus went up, he ascended up on high and gave gifts. That's Ephesians 4. He gave gifts to men. Those gifts were gifts to share the contact of the Lord, the context of the Lord, the Word of God, with his family and help them grow up in him. Amen. And to be just like Jesus. That's your mission. You know, I remember, I don't know if y'all remember the show back in the 60s, and they've got some decent movies about it now, Mission Impossible. Anybody remember the Mission Impossible? You remember what the first words that were usually told to Ethan Hunt, the guy that was the head of the group? Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is such and such, whatever. But your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to grow up in him and be a true worshiper of your Father. Amen. Your mission, should you choose to accept it. That's why God said it in the Word in Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. He's talking to the people and said, "I brought you this far. You've seen trials and tribulations and some really horrible things behind you, but they're behind you. But here's what's in front of you." He says, "I set before you life and death, blessing," and what was the other thing? And cursing. And he says to the people, "I say to you, choose life." Choose life. And what was he saying when he said that to them? If you don't choose life, what's in front of you automatically? The curse. The curse of the law is in front of you. You know, it also talks about in Deuteronomy, God said the blessing will come on you and overtake you. But he said there, if you don't pay attention to my word and my commandments, the cursing will chase you and overtake you. And he listed a big, long thing, Deuteronomy 27 and 28, some horrible, horrible things for a human being to have to endure in their life. The curse of the law, it's called in Galatians. But praise God, something to worship about this morning. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Glory. We're not under the curse. Those people he spoke that to were under the curse. But you know what my Bible says? My Bible says his feet will be on your head. The curse is the devil, you know, right? Your feet will be on his head. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Now my victory is complete. Jesus spoiled principalities, made a show of them openly. He's under my feet. That devil's under my feet. You see, he's under the feet. The curse is under your feet, under our feet. But how does that happen? When we get into the program, we choose life. We choose to worship in spirit and in truth. We choose to follow after him. Remember this. We're still on the subject, and it will change after next weekend because you got Miss Mary Pulliam coming in, Minister Mary Pulliam coming back in. And Dola has told me that she has been in this pulpit several times through the years. You all know who she is that have been here a while. Wonderful woman of God. She'll be sharing this next week, but I'll stay on worship, but it'll be something different by the end of the month, I believe. I'm believing that, okay? But we're still on worship and the yield or the fruit of the lips. Remember Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the what? Of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that love it what? What is it? It's the power of the tongue. It's the power of the words. God created you in his image. It says another place, he made us speaking spirits. That's his image. We're him. We speak like he does. So those who love the power of the tongue shall eat the fruit of it. Hebrews 13 and 15 says, by him, Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips. They that love the fruit of the lips shall eat the fruit of it. Amen. The yield of the lips. Proverbs 18:20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. The English Standard Version, he is satisfied by the yield of his lips. I love that song, that old song, I'll Be Satisfied. But they need to properly context it and put verses in that talk about what comes out of our mouth is what will be satisfying us. I mean, that's the word. That's the word. We take God's word. We listen to God's word. We believe God's word. We accept God's word. We embrace his word and live according to that word. That's how we're a Christian. You understand that? That's how we're a child of God. We embrace his word and do it. And listen, we worship him by listening to it with the intention of doing it. And I'll have to do without that this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Proverbs 18:4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It's important that we get control of our spirit man, what we allow out of our mouth. Why? Because Jesus said, by the words of your lips you'll be justified, by the words of your lips you'll be condemned, right? Did he not say that? Pastor Dola shared that 2-3 weeks back, right? By the words of the lips we're condemned, right? We're brought under condemnation, but by the words of the lips we're justified. We're brought under Jesus' control by the words of our lips. We need to get into agreement with what God says in the book. Amen. in the manufacturer's handbook. And so Deuteronomy 30, God had told, 15 through 20, he'd told the people, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you can live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess. But if your heart turns away so you don't hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over Jordan to go and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live, so that you may love the Lord your God, that you can obey his voice, that you can cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you. True worship flows from our total love and our devotion to the Lord. So we got to understand this. James 3:10, it tells us this, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be this way. They shouldn't be this way. If God says it shouldn't be this way, what should we be doing? We should be doing it a different way than this, right? Right? He says out of the same mouth is coming blessing and cursing. Oh, bless the Lord. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. That's what he's telling us. If God says it, we should do it the way he says it. Amen? We should obey him, right? So he says, out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. These things should not be. So we need to decide in our heart. We choose life. What do? We choose blessing. Now, Genesis chapters 1 to 2, God said over and over again, you can read it, and God said, there was rebellion in the universe, and it says the earth became without wilderness and waste. It became without form and void in King James. But the word in Hebrew means waste and wilderness. It didn't start that way. It became that way because of rebellion. And the Lord, in order to shut that down, he turned the lights off. So what happens with darkness? I noticed this in Oklahoma. I haven't seen it so much up here in Illinois. In Oklahoma, we're a lot more humid down there. In Texas, we're a lot more humid down there. And we have a little more heat than here, okay? I know we've had what y'all call hot up here, but that hadn't been hot to me. But down there, it's a lot hotter. And one of the things that happens when there's darkness and there's all these combinations with warmth and things like that, you know what forms when that happens? Who knows what forms on the surfaces of things? It's called mold. Corruption. Decay. That's what it is. It's mold and mildew. So what we're trying to do is to create a situation that there is life. We're choosing not to have cursing, which is corruption. We're making the choice. We're choosing life, okay? God said this. He said, light become. And what happened? Light became and there was suddenly order because in a current physics course at university level, they would tell you this. Matter, the things you see, are actually made out of light particles. The light particles, they're a wave, real fast. There is a frequency in those waves, and those waves form into what you see here in your physical realm. Now, I know that's kind of a heavy load to throw on folks who've never heard that before and maybe never went to physics class in school or anything like that. That's a heavy load. But that's what the truth of the matter is about our world. God formed it. How did he form it? It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. The earth was made. God said, what did he say in Genesis? Let's form the earth. And he said, let there be waters upon the face of the earth. And there were waters. Let there be dry land upon the face of the earth. There were dry land. let there be critters coming forth on the dry. And there were critters, and let there be birds flying around, and let there be fish in the sea. He said these things, and what happened? Because he's the speaking spirit, the creator, what happened? The frequencies formed in according to what he said. Words are frequencies. And it suddenly forms into what he said. And you can see this. Let there be this. Let there be that. And so what happens? The earth and everything is formed. The universe is reformed, reconstituted. Frequency. Why is this? Words are important and they carry great weight. And frequency creates and influences. Creates and influences. I can remember back in the 70s. Anybody remember the 70s here? I can remember back in the 70s. I was elementary and high schooler back in those years. And I can remember at high school right after, I remember running across a gentleman that was high up in the Satanism witchcraft group, okay? But how did I run across him? I wasn't hanging with that bunch. He began hanging with us because he'd come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you that God so loved the world, everybody, including the Satanist, that he gave his only begotten son. This man received Jesus. He turned his back on all of that, and he shared some things about what he was. His face to the world, he was a high-ranking music industry executive, and he knew the inside and out of what went on in the music industry. He was sharing that some missionaries from the U.S. had gone over to the jungles, deep jungles of Africa, and the kids had come back from furlough from the U.S. and back over there, and they began playing on their music players. They began playing some contemporary Christian music that had the hard rock and roll and all that kind of stuff. And suddenly, the villagers came all out of nowhere and show up at their hut where they were and were having a hissy fit. Just a hollering and screaming about stop, 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 stop. And the missionaries finally calmed them down enough to understand what they were saying. And they said, stop that noise, that whatever this thing that your children are playing. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Why? What's wrong? What's the matter? They said the music, the melody, and the beat of those drums are what our witch doctors, it's the same thing our witch doctors use to call demon spirits in to invade us, to oppress us, to hurt us. Now that's heavy, isn't it? That's not something I made up. That's people came back and shared this with this gentleman. And he actually verified it with them. He said, this is what we do. Maybe, did I share this with you? This is what we do in the music industry. When we're ready to have a hit song or record and we have the artists who are contracted with us who will do whatever we say for that dollar bill, okay, they're on board spiritually with us. And what we do is we have a high-up person in the Satanism witchcraft that has the title of songwriter. We'll have them write up a song with that, and then the arranger, the instrumentalist people, to arrange it up with those kind of beats and that kind of music and all, and with those words. And then we will have one of our other, like one of our priestesses, come in and fast and pray over that song and lay their hands on it and bless that song satanically. And we'll do that, and then we'll have the people doing the music. We'll have the arrangers compose it all up, and we'll have the band members and the leader of the band, the singer, come in, and we'll have a service for them and lay hands upon them and anoint, bless them satanically to carry the proper unctioning of that song to the world. And he said, we'll get it all together. We'll go in the studio, and they'll be in there. The satanic people will be in there with the engineers. Lay their hands on the instruments and everything, and they'll bless it all together. And he said, without fail, when we did this, we'd have a number one song. And he said, quite literally, the people you see that are very famous, high up in that realm of life, very often they actually have a contract with the devil. They've yielded their life over to his use to be used by him. And so that's what happened. They'll have that, and that anointing comes out of that song. And what happens is it draws demon spirits from far and near to wherever that music is being played. And he said that's what happened with the missionaries. They had the frequency of that music coming out, and that drew the wrong side, the dark side of the force, as they saw in some of the sci-fi. That drew evil to that spot. And so the missionaries, the kids had no idea, but when they laid that down, they stopped having the hullabaloo and the ruckus that went on with that deal, okay? So words are important. You remember Matthew 12:37, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Here's the most important words any human being can utter upon this earth. Romans 10:9-10. If you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because with the heart man believes to righteousness. With the mouth, what happens? Confession is made to salvation. Without this confession, guess what? You belong on the wrong side of the border. You don't belong to God. You're not in the house of God. You're not in the family of God. This is how I like to share overseas with the youth, the college students and high schoolers. I share about the family you're in. I say, everybody's in a family here, right? And everybody, yeah. And I talk about there's another two families that we're all part of, and we can choose to be in one or the other. And I share with them about the family, and I talk about the mean guy downstairs. They understand that. I got to be careful here because their place has a basement down here, and Dad might be down below us. You know, we don't know. I got to be careful. But over there, they understand when you're pointing. They know who you're talking about. And so I say, you give me that family? And more than likely, you are in that family if you haven't made a decision. And I say, there's another family, the family of God. And someone opened the door for each of us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows who Jesus is? And about half of them will say, yeah, I heard about him. And you share, this is what Jesus has done. This is what he means to each of us. And and we would sing, of course, with it and all. And then give a call at the end of it to the song, For God So Loved the World, okay? And we would see hundreds of these young people come to receive Jesus. And you know, we had youth pastors travel with us on the tours. And we would have, usually from that local area, we would place them in a youth group. They would actually sign paperwork and get into a youth group. It's important. That's the most important words that we can speak on this earth. Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Why? Because you are recreating a son of the living God with those words. Amen. That frequency from heaven. So you understand this. Tribal and pastoral, more rural agricultural type people, they have a more thorough understanding of the power of words than we folks who have been in the industrial era. And even information era today, that's more what we are today, is information IT. But the industrial era is what those of us over 35 or 40, we came out of the industrial age. You know, what's the most well-known plant here about, what, 15 miles to the east of us right here in Belvedere? What's the name of it? Chrysler, right? Making Jeep Cherokees there. You know, well-known, industrial. Lots of people come in there every day and make some pretty decent paychecks from that, amen. So that's industrial. But you know what's happened is we've got everything all ordered out by the government, by mom and daddy, by the union. We're all ordered out. We go and obey whatever they're telling us to fit into the machinery, right? But we lose track of our spiritual life. We lose the grip on our spiritual life. And that's what's happened to this society that we live in the so-called West, right? We've laid aside all the things of spirit, so to speak, to live on the level of the soul and what else? Of the flesh. You know what the Bible says? The person that lives by the flesh will what? They'll die. And in dying, in Genesis, in dying, they'll also die. Because forever they're dying, right? But it says the person that lives by the Spirit shall what? They'll live. They'll come to life. So what do? We choose to live by the Holy Spirit, who was sent to bring us in to the family, bring us into Father's house. Amen. The tribal people have a stronger understanding, so you can look and see your movies. I remember enjoying Crocodile Dundee. Anybody ever see that one? The Aboriginal people that lived on the land and by the sounds of the land and by the moon and different things like that, they lived by that. They had a greater understanding of what was actually happening. They had a greater understanding of how to get things done on the land like that. The gal from New York that comes in had not a clue. She almost gets eaten by an alligator, you know. I remember that part of it. He jumps out of the water. So the pastoral people have a greater understanding of the importance of what comes out of our mouth because they understand in the image of God we're that speaking spirit. Amen. We have some frequency influence. Proverbs 15:4 says this, gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Think about that. That's the word of the Lord. Gentle words bring life and health. Proverbs, yes? Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Anybody have any honey for breakfast? That's what I'm not real crazy about breakfast food, so to speak. I'll occasionally eat eggs and stuff like that, but I'm not real crazy. But I like to put the toaster on, put some toast in, butter that up a little bit, and go and get the peanut butter out of the cabinet, put a little of that, and on the other side, I'll pour honey and let that honey soak into the bread and put that together. Oh, that is so good. That is delicious. I'm almost convinced that might be a snack at the marriage supper of the land, you know. They may have those hors d'oeuvres out of that for us up there. Amen. It's delicious. Honey's good, isn't it? Amen? Honey's good. Proverbs 18:4, it says this. A person's words can be life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. Have you ever been with a person, maybe hanging with them a little bit? Have you ever done that? And by the time you're done with that conversation, you just feel, wow, praise God. Oh, I feel so good. Why? Because those words, they gave you words of true wisdom. They gave you words that were like life-giving water. Living water came out of their mouth. That was blessing. That's God's way. Living words. Amen. The saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And maybe you've heard that. I heard that in the 60s and 70s, 60s in elementary school. I actually said that a lot because I think I might have shared with you these ears were the same size, but this head wasn't quite as big. So I had a nickname, Dumbo or Waldo, I think was maybe an elephant that had big ears back then. So they called me that all the time. It was hurtful. But you know what? I would turn around and say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Nya, nya, nya. And walk away. But you know what? That was a lie. Because those words were actually very hurtful. I was a verbal abuse. I might have shared with you one time. My mama was just being facetious and actually playing with me. But I looked up to my mama as if she was the Lord himself. I was a mama's boy. And I think I might have been 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there. And had these big ears. And these kids abused me like that all the time about that. And my mama, she says, Junior. She called me Junior. You're a twerp. You know that? I don't know what a twerp is. Do you? I don't know what the dictionary. I've never looked it up. I wasn't that interested in what it meant. But it means something. It's kind of a put-down, right? You kind of accept that, right? It's kind of a put-down. You know, like a dweeb. You ever heard of a dweeb? Ever been called a dweeb? Or a nerd. Maybe it's close to a nerd, I think, maybe. A nerd. So that, those words, this is my loving mama, who to this day I love with my heart and would lay down my life for her, okay? But my loving mama said those words, and it tore me up inside. Didn't know what a twerp was, but it tore me up. Have you ever had that happen to you? Anybody here? You ever had that happen? Someone, usually someone you like or look up to, and they say something like that to you, and it actually tears you up and hurts, and maybe hurts for decades. So, you know, what's funny, every ill word spoken by a loved one can be like a stone thrown at your heart. Took me years and years as an adult to heal the wounds that those ill words would speak to me. But I also personally know the damage words can do. I am not perfect in my speech to others. Anybody in here perfect in your speech? I'm not perfect in my speech. I still have a flesh. I still have stress put on that flesh. And sometimes there'll be words that are not exactly edifying. I don't go around cussing at people, but I mean, maybe something that's not quite so edifying will come out of it. And I gotta repent of it. Lord will show it. I gotta repent of it. But you know what? I'm not perfect in my speech. I have slung words I wish I could retrieve. I reread the book of Proverbs recently. And some of the words just jumped off the page at me. Did you know that our words are stones? I came across a picture of polished stones at a gift shop. That's big in Arizona and the trading post areas where the Native American tribes are up there. They like to get stones and polish them up, turquoise and different stuff. And real pretty. And our words are like the polished stones at a gift shop. And I knew what the background for the verses here that we're going to finish with are. Our words are like stones. We're nothing but stone throwers with each word that we speak. If our words contain beauty, people will treasure them. They'll walk away going, oh, hallelujah, that, I feel so good. If our words contain pain, you know what people do with them? What you do and what I do with them? We'll toss them aside. But you know what? We have to deal with the wound that they've caused. And like the stones in these pictures are hand-selected by buyers, okay? We get to choose our words. Which stones will we choose? Which stones will we choose? In Proverbs, I want to look at a few scriptures here. Proverbs 11:9, evil words destroy one's friends. Wise discernment rescues the godly. Evil words destroy one's friends. Wise discernment rescues the godly. Proverbs 11:9. Then go to verse 12 of Proverbs. It's foolish to belittle a neighbor. A person with good sense remains silent. Think about that. It's better not to say anything, right, than to belittle someone. Put them down, amen? Proverbs 11:17, 5 verses down. Your own soul is nourished when you're kind, but you destroy yourself when you are cruel. Have you ever done that? Said something not so nice? And you know what it did? What did it do in here? There's a knot in here in your spirit. And you're actually suffering from it. Amen? It tears you down, okay? Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but hard words stir up anger. We can choose the words, the stones we're throwing. We can choose them, amen? Proverbs 15:4, gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. I've already said that, right? They're like honey. Oh, I found, by the way, you want some good raw honey. Raw honey is the good stuff. It's the healthy stuff. The kind that has little particles still in it from the beehive. That's the healthiest stuff there is. They haven't cooked the nutrition away or anything like that. You find it at Sam's Club. They have a two-pack. It's like $9 for a two-pack. That's what I pour on my toast. It's good. So I'm not advertising for Sam's. Just thought I would let you know that if you're that way, it's a good place to find some good honey. Amen? So Proverbs 18:4, a person's words can be life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are refreshing as a bubbling brook. Proverbs 20:15, wise speech is rarer and more valuable than gold and rubies. Now think about that. Who are the really wealthy people on this planet? Think about that. The really wealthy people, they are the people who have knowledge. And they share that knowledge, whether they write it out or they're speaking it out. They're the ones who share that knowledge and other people grasp hold and pay for that knowledge. Knowledge is more valuable. Wise speech is more valuable than gold and rubies. That was the currency of that day. That was the silver dollar of that day, gold and rubies. Amen. Proverbs 25:18, telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe or wounding them with a sword or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Have you ever felt an arrow? I'm talking about a word shot into you. You ever felt that? It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts, doesn't it? You ever felt an axe? I've never been unwise enough to put my hand in the way of an axe or anything in the way of an axe, but I can imagine what that must feel like, okay? So what do we do with these verses that talk about the frequency, the words, the fruit, the yield of our lips? What do? We choose life. We make some choices, right? That's what God said. Choose life. Choose life. Choose blessing. It's blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible until at last you come to talk in scriptural language and your spirit is flavored with the words of the Bible so that your blood is biblical. Believe it or not, it's possible to have biblical blood. And the very essence of the Bible flows from you. There was a very famous minister of the gospel in England in the 1800s, name of Charles Spurgeon. Very rich. He would share some very rich things, insights from the Lord. And that's something that he talked about. The blessing is to eat into the soul of the Bible, get it, make it a part of us. Some of the words that people have spoken through the years, anybody ever hear Ben Franklin? That's one of my favorite pictures on our currency is a Ben Franklin. Amen. Anybody know what a Ben Franklin looks like? He said this, I wake up in the morning at 9 and I grab for the morning paper. Then I look at the obituary page. If my name is not on it, I get up. Think about that. And he also said this, if all printers were determined not to print anything until they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed. Ooh. And he said something else. We're all born ignorant, but one must work hard to remain stupid. We're all born ignorant, right? Mom, what do I do? We're all born that way. But he said, you have to work hard to remain stupid, right? Amen. I'm not calling anybody stupid. Everybody, there was someone else that said everybody's ignorant only about different things. You know, everybody's ignorant only about different things. I don't know how to plumb a house. I can change a faucet, but I'm ignorant about plumbing. I don't know how to electrical wire a house. I'm ignorant about that. I know how to change a light switch. Okay, there's all of us have areas that we're ignorant about, right? So. Remember this, we're blessed with faithful Abraham, and God said it in Genesis 12:17, I will bless thee, and in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. He designed us to be in his image, to be blessing. Now I want to continue later on with being a blessing. I believe it's time for Luby's cafeteria right now. So I want to have a little consideration. Some of us like to go to this Chinese place over here, right, Keith and Marguerite? I don't remember the name of it. We like to be like the Apostle Paul and buffet our bodies, right? He said, I buffet my body daily, right? We like to do that sometimes. So maybe I smell that going on. So we're going to close with this. Decide. Choose life. Decide to be a blessing. Decide.